It's the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Grande. And we've got over 800 brand new Mazdas with outstanding incentives, like low monthly lease payments and low APR financing. Yep, it's just a great time to buy. So don't miss the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Episode 2 of our Stanley Cup Playoff Report here on the Sharks Audio Network. I'm Dan Rusinowski in San Jose, and greetings from Saskatoon to Drew Remenda. How's the weather up there?
Cold today. It actually snowed in Edmonton today, where my daughter is. Chilly, single digit Celsius, so like 9 degrees right now.
Not bad. Cold. Chilly for the month of April, but that's the way it goes. Speaking about this, can you believe it's the end of April already? And we've had a couple of series end in the first round already, and people have been shaking hands, and we're already starting to talk about round two.
We might have three more the day we're recording this tonight, Tuesday, April 30th. We might have three more tonight as other teams are on the brink of advancing. It's been a really entertaining first round. But, boy, the top teams in the league, certainly showing why they're the top teams in the league.
Well, I'd like to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights-Dallas Stars series to start off. What a tremendous series between these clubs.
It's fantastic, isn't it? I mean, when you look at these two teams, the Vegas Golden Knights are the Stanley Cup champions. They get Petrangelo back. They get Hurdle back. They get Stone back. And they are a formidable club. And Logan Thompson in net is playing great goal. But this has been a road warrior series. Vegas wins the first two in Dallas. Dallas comes back and wins the next two, one in overtime. And then last night, with a really gritty performance, I thought, this to me is playoff hockey. It is gritty. It is winning those one-on-one competitions along the boards, in the corners, front of the net. It's prison rules. There's a lot of fun things to watch. It's a physical series, but a skilled series. You know, Jack Eichel has 32 points in the playoffs in his career. That's just from last year to this year. Got another one last night. I mean,
Jack Eichel, remember that name.
Exactly.
I actually thought that Eichel has been brilliant in his playoffs. And, of course, the goal that he scored, which you'll hear now, was a really big one.
Picked up by Jack Eichel, though. Eichel coming to the neutral zone. Eichel across the rail. Left wall. Barbashev to Marchessault. Hit the post. Rebound. Score! Jack Eichel! Vegas takes a 2-1 lead.
He did a brilliant job in getting to that rebound. And that reminds me of the first goal that Vegas scored. Mike Amadio, who was put back into the lineup, did this.
Robertson's entry feed is cut off by William Karlsson. Right side hounded, sets up Amadio. Now McNabb drifting, shoots, save, rebound, it's at the goal line, it's in! Dragons fire at the fortress. The right button push, it's 22, Mike Amadio. Vegas has a 1-0 lead in game four with 5:35 to go in the first.
To me, that was the key goal of the contest. It usually is the first one, but what about the effort that he put to get to that puck on the rebound?
Both goals were getting to the front of the net. Both goals were getting pucks on net, then getting to the front of the net. And it's straight ahead, north-south, going through guys' hockey. And that's how you have to score in the National Hockey League in the playoffs.
But in spite of all that,
big but,
what happened with the Dallas Stars, down by the score of 2-1, they come roaring back, and this 19-year-old kid, Wyatt Johnston, continues to just amaze everybody with the way that he's been playing. It's just an incredible performance that he's put on, scoring another fantastic goal. And that really put things in a bad spot, and here it is.
Heiskanen for Sagan, left circle, Rister! Save made, rebound, score! Johnston! Thompson made the initial save but could not hang on, and Wyatt Johnston is loving Las Vegas.
And then the role players for the Dallas Stars stood up. They've got three key guys out. Marchment's out, Hakanpää is out, and yet Ty Dellandrea coming in with this one.
Stars remain on the attack. Sam Steele, right side, Smith, and scored! It may have gone in off Ty Dellandrea. The fourth line in the closing minutes of the second period, Dallas has their first lead.
And so that's the way it went. Dallas, of course, in the third period would extend that with Roope Hintz.
Stevenson measuring. It bounced on Theodore, pressured Pavelski. Roope Hintz for the empty net. He scores from his own blue line. Still feeling the effects from the blocked shot, but Dallas held the fort. And they double their lead.
The one thing that Dallas got, Drew, was they got really great performances from their fourth line. And Pete DeBoer was talking about that postgame.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say enough about our depth guys stepping in. We've had a couple injuries. You know, we got three pretty good players out right now in Hakanpää and Faxa and Marchment. And guys have come in and you know, it's been seamless. Not only jumped in, but you know, had an effect on the game. So, you know, that depth has been great, and you can feel it. It's contagious, you know, to our group. You know, those guys are really, really driving a lot of plays for us. So they've been fantastic.
How many times, Drew, have we heard that that third and fourth line group on whatever team wins the Stanley Cup were key to it?
Oh, every time. You can't win without depth. You cannot win in the National Hockey League playoffs without any depth. But on that empty net goal, right, during that stretch, Vegas had a ton of pressure on the Kings, or on the Stars. And Joe Pavelski makes two key plays. One, puck comes along the boards. He's up high. He is able to trap the puck along the boards because he's got such great hands and he works on it every day. And then gets the puck out, chips it out, relieves some pressure. Then comes back in, extra attacker, and just a little bobble at the blue line by Vegas, and jumps on it right after Hintz blocked a shot that hurt him. He still stays out, and then Hintz gets up, the little bobble at the blue line. Pavs makes the play, gets it to Hintz, and Hintz shoots it all the way down the ice. So your fourth line guys can you know, as Peter DeBoer said, can be contagious on those little things you have to do in order to win, to grind it out. And the guys love it when the fourth line scores, third line scores, depth guys score. They absolutely love it. But then you've got to go out and do it yourself. And at the end of the game, when it was on the line, Vegas trying to tie it up, the big boys showed up.
It was a frustrated head coach, Bruce Cassidy, that came out to the podium for Vegas and chatted about how frustrated he felt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, the goals they scored, power play goal, good play by them to get to the front of the net for second and third chances. Tough to be in that position. I think, you know, those are calls that happen a lot during the course of a game that they whistled us on. And to be honest, I thought McNabb got interfered with or held trying to clear the puck. So you think but doesn't get called. Now we never recover. So that's one that, good for them, good on them to stay with the battle, get a second, third chance goal. But the other one was inexcusable, really. I mean, we can get out of the period 2-2. We stay too long on the shift, then we mismanage the puck. Again, it's a fortunate play, but they're putting everything to the net, and you're going to get some of those bounces. So they scored two from the goal line tonight. But that's what happens when you funnel some nights. So the end of the day on us, not to get into the intermission, at least 2-2. Take a breath. Understand we played very well with the exception of the end of the second. Some of that was penalty driven. And get back at it. So, yeah, those are maturity in your team, right? And we should be farther along that. So that's one that, you know, is disappointing. And at the end of the day, we're 2-2 now. But I think the game could have been ended differently. I don't know if it would have, but we would have been even going into the third. It would have been a little easier to play the game than having to go, you know, they're a good defensive team, go through them all, period.
I want you to remember the general context of that quote, because I've got another one coming up later in the show, Drew, that sounds almost identical. The whole idea about trying to hang on and keep the score, at a better one for your team toward the end of a period. And then that Ty Dellandrea goal comes with a minute and a half left. How many times have we heard that?
Lately, too many times for the San Jose Sharks, way too many times. But he also said there, and, your friendly neighborhood color commentator, I'm a broken record. I know when you and I are working together about putting pucks at the net and getting people to the net. It's no secret. That's how you score in this league. That's where the majority of goals come from, is in front of the net, that home base slot, home plate area. And a lot of goals that have been scored this season in the playoffs are all from that area. You got to muck it up in there. You've got to get there. You got to get inside and score those goals.
Goaltending has to be part of this too. And Dallas has been struggling a little bit during the course of the season with Jake Oettinger, but he seems to be stepping up at exactly the right time. Kind of reminds me of Martin Jones back in 2019 after an up and down year, came through in the playoffs. And Pete DeBoer was talking about that after this game.
Yeah, I think exactly like our team. And when we needed him to, and he has. You know, I thought tonight was his best night. Third period, he locked it down, made some huge saves. You know, and when he gets in that zone, he's a really tough guy to beat. You know, I like how our group's playing around him and defending around him. But, we bent a little bit tonight. You knew they were going to push back. And, he made some critical saves at key times. So we're going to need that, two out of three going home. He's got to be one of our best players. But I feel like he's in that zone now.
But how did that game turn around, really? How did Dallas get the courage, get the resolve, get the ability to withstand the attack that they had early in that really tough atmosphere in Vegas? Well, Coach DeBoer told us that.
You knew they were going to push in the first, and they did. I thought, despite the push, I never felt like we were overwhelmed at any moment. They had the advantage in some shots. I thought they were running around chasing hits. So we talked between the goal at the end of the first with Dadonov was a big one. And then, we talked about using that over-aggressiveness of them chasing hits against them. And I thought in the second period, we really took control of the game. I don't know what the shots were in the second period, but drew some penalties, made them play in their own end. That's what we wanted to play. And the third period was just a lock it down. You don't like to sit back that much, but I felt that, we were smart like they were in Dallas when they had the lead going into the third, though. I think it was game two.
The recurring theme around all of this, Drew, is that the coaching staff kept them calm during the course of the tough parts of the game. I think that that's an underrated part of why Dallas won this game.
Huge, huge underrated part. I wish I was around with the Sharks when Pete DeBoer was there. I love listening to him. I like his coaching style. I had a talk with him on my radio show last season after the season was over for them, and just talking about coaching. It was an interview we did. And I asked him about his demeanor on the bench because he is so calm, so relaxed. It looks like it anyway.
Inside, he's not.
That's funny you say that. It was actually one of the things that he said. Well, he said not inside. He said, but he's had to work on it. Because he said, body language matters. You have to work on that. And the more experience you get, the easier it is to maintain that composure. But he's absolutely right on everything he said, because Vegas did come out very, very aggressive, and they were chasing hits because that's Vegas. They play a heavy, nasty, mean game, and they want to outwill you. And Dallas responded in kind, very smartly. But this is a series to me when I watch it is, for me, the go-to watch. It is, okay, well, that game's on. We got to be watching. There's so many games are on at the same time, although they've been spread out in the last couple of days quite nicely. So you get to waste all day watching hockey. It's been fun to watch this series. And plus, you and I know we're both in the same boat. Okay, come on, Pabs. Let's go, baby.
And Absolutely.
Mason Marchand. And Mason Marchand, too.
No doubt about it. I mean, we want to see those guys advance as far as they can. And that's another interesting factor about how many ex-Sharks, whether they're coaches or players that are still involved in these playoffs. It makes things fascinatingly interesting for any Sharks fan that's watching.
Yeah.
Listen.
You know, when you watch the game, like you and I are, I think we're the same way. There's only one team in the league we cheer for, and that's the San Jose Sharks. But we cheer for a lot of people. The Sharks aren't in it. We cheer for individuals. Habs, absolutely. Mason Marchment, absolutely. Anthony Duclair, unfortunately, they just got knocked out. Former Sharks, Brendan Dillon, unfortunately, with the injury, we'll talk about that, I know. But another guy you cheer for. There's guys that you cheer for because they played for the Sharks. You get to know them. You're good guys. Steven Lawrence, you know, advances. Seeing him play, because he's such a great kid.
Scored a nice goal.
Yeah,
in this
he certainly
series.
Did. So we cheer for people. And I think fans are the same way. That's why they love the Sharks. But there's only one team we cheer for, but we cheer for a lot of individuals after that.
And of course, in this Vegas-Dallas series, you've got Tomas Hertl on one side, Joe Pavelski on the other. Yeah, so that makes things rather interesting. Although Logan Couture a couple of days ago told us that, in that battle, I'm going to cheer for Pavs because he's older, he's been around longer, and Tomas is going to have more chances to win with that team. So kind of interesting that he actually said something along those lines. But now let's talk about the fact that the road team has won every game in this series. I think that's really interesting to note after four games in two very tough buildings to win that the road team has gotten victories every time.
Yeah, you know, I think it goes back, Danny, to the style of the play. These teams are not inconsistent from game to game. And it's a matter of, you know, getting a break here, getting a save there. But then, as Pete DeBoer just told us, locking it down when you have the ability. Vegas did it in game two. Dallas did it last night. Don't like it. You want your guys to keep playing in the offensive zone. But their ability to be consistent and play in the muck, kind of, you know, kind of embrace that grind. And both teams, because of the veterans that they have, because of the skill that they have, because of the way they play, it doesn't matter what building you're playing in.
We continue now with the Sharks Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
On from the Dallas-Vegas series, we go to the other series that has concluded from games earlier this week. Florida against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And what a series that has been. Amazing opportunities for the Lightning to get back in and try to get a victory. The game was 6-1, but the problem is, Drew, that game really wasn't a 6-1 game, was it?
No, three empty netters. The controversy last night's game, I heard this last night. I've never heard this term before. It was a gentleman's sweep. I guess
I hate that. I think it's
stupid.
I've
never heard it before.
It's ridiculous. What does that mean? I think you win one game and then you lose four in a row. That's a gentleman's sweep.
Sweep. I don't know. I don't know, but I've never heard it before.
Yeah, no, but thanks. I don't like that.
The controversy came with two disallowed goals scored by Tampa and then disallowed for goaltender interference. The first one, I can see it. I would argue that, okay, I get your point on that one. But the second one, I'm with John Cooper in the second one. I didn't think it was a good, first of all, the call on the ice on the first one was goal, and then they reviewed it and it was overturned. On the second one, there was no goaltender interference, which I thought was a bad call. And then they very quickly looked at it and said, yeah, it was goalie interference. I didn't think it was. I thought it was inconsequential, inadvertent. Even I didn't even think there was contact on the second one besides the foot of who was it going to that? Can't remember who was going to that. But anyway, I didn't like that call. And John Cooper at the end of the game didn't like it at all.
Well, we're going to get to that, actually, because also Anthony Duclair involved in the first one, right? That one I thought was marginal, I have to tell you. In fact, you could look at that both ways, which we're going to get to. But after the game, Duclair talked about what the difference was.
No, they're a good team. Credit to them. You know, it starts with Bob. Made some key saves at key moments in the series and, you know, kept them in the game. And, you know, they're a well-rounded, built team. You know, they played hard and obviously losing the first two games wasn't ideal, you know, trying to get back in the series. And then losing the first one at home didn't help either. But like I said, you know, just got to give them credit, you know, where it is.
A conciliatory Anthony Duclair, but John Cooper was asked immediately after the game about those disallowed goals. And here's how he started his news conference.
I will address the disallowed goals at the end. If you have anything else you want to ask about the game.
And then there was this pregnant pause and they asked a couple of questions. But later on in the news conference, as promised, Cooper got into it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's, I'm going to address this. So this is clearly a turning point in the game. If anybody's going to talk about this game, they're going to talk about the goals that were taken away. And in this league where goals are at a premium and how, you know, we've done is make the rules for more goal scoring. That's what we've done. And every year there seems to be something we tweak so more goals can be scored. And that's great. But, you know, there's mandates, and the words were to pull a goal off the board, it has to be unbelievably egregious. That's the standard, to pull a goal off the board. Well, the first one's on the board, and I couldn't find anything remotely egregious about that. You know, it's really tough. Like, Forsling is holding on. Like, it's a full penalty. He's holding on to Duclair. So he's trying to yank. He's trying to get his balance. It really does affect nothing. Bob misses the puck, and it's a net front battle, and it's in the net. Like, I can't. That's just the part for me. And then, so now we have to rebound from that. We do. And then the next one is a net front battle. And I will give the goalie credit. He quit on the play. He completely quit, didn't see it, didn't whatever, and then flailed. And there was, I mean, maybe incidental contact at most. And then, but now we have to challenge it because they saw the reaction of the goaltender and Bob's doing the right, you know, he duped him and so be it. But now we have to make that challenge. And again, it's like, well, then is there net front battles aren't allowed anymore? And that's part of everybody's game. It's like the boxing out that goes there, it's like prison rules in the playoffs, but it's not prison rules for the goalie. Like, the second something happens, you know, like, we might as well put skirts on them then, if that's how it's going to be. I mean, they have to battle through stuff too. And when the players are working so hard on both teams, and it's, like I said, it's a war down there. I think we're letting the goalies off the hook. And they've got way more pads on than everybody else does. So, you know, the egregious part, I couldn't see it. And so now we go into the third period, and this conversation's going down if we'd won 6-1. But we're going into the third period now, down one, where maybe we're up one, or maybe it's tied and it's a different game. And I'll give our guys credit. We had some looks, you know, in the third to tie it. And we don't, and then we kind of shot ourselves in the foot on the fourth one by, you know, how we played that. But again, give Florida credit. They weathered that little storm we had, but it's the circumstance we were put in that I felt, again, this is just my opinion, I felt was, you know, a little unfair. And I just like the spirit of the rule of, especially in the playoffs, like, come on, how do you let those slide? Does this by any means, we were going to say we're going to win the series? It does not. But would it have changed a lot of the momentum of this game and the way things had gone? I think so. So, you know, I'm not sitting up here, like, again, this conversation that has to, you know, going on in my head. But, like, Florida won this series. I mean, they won the series 4-1. It wasn't 4-3, and this was the game deciding. So, you know, they did a lot of work before this to put themselves in a situation, and they beat it. Yes.
He went on for 4 minutes and 5 seconds in that clip. I thought it was a tour de force, actually.
Lawyer. He's really smart. Very well spoken. I loved how calm he was. I agree with him on his issues. Again, like I said, I could live with the first one. The first one, okay, I get why the NHL called that one back. But the second one, I'm agreeing with him 100%. Sergei Bobrovsky sold that, gave up on it. He was right. And it was incidental contact that should be allowed in the game. And John Cooper's right. We do everything we can to try to get more goals on the board, and then you take him off like that easily. I would go with Mr. Cooper on that one.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
About 5 minutes left in our show today, Drew, and a lot of things still to talk about. But briefly, let us discuss the amazing comeback of the Vancouver Canucks with Brock Besser getting the hat trick into overtime to get the victory. That has to be an absolutely devastating blow to the Nashville Predators.
You and I refer to Bob Arey's 16 things to win the Stanley Cup. The very first time the San Jose Sharks made the playoffs in 1993-94, our captain Bob Arey put a list together just on a napkin, thinking about some things the guys could focus on because it's our very first playoffs and nobody expected us to be there. And one of the things on that list is you're never out of a game in the playoffs. Never out of a game. And the Vancouver Canucks it was a tight game. It was back and forth, but they didn't give up. They kept going. And Danny, an empty netter off the post where the bench for Vancouver, for Nashville had the hands up. Andrew Burnett was pumping his fist saying, game over. We got this. And it's off the post and goes the other way in 6.8 seconds. Brock Besser is the hero one more time. It's unreal.
Really was an amazing moment. And of course, everybody in Vancouver is ordering the rings right now because they're so emotional in that city. Of course, in Toronto, they're on the verge of the exact opposite reaction as the Maple Leafs are once again on the verge of losing to the Boston Bruins. It just seems that whenever they see those spoke bees, they have trouble dealing with the physical play. And now all of a sudden, Jeremy Swayman comes up with a nice effort and goal after Jim Montgomery changed the rotation a little bit.
Well, whatever Jimmy's doing, it's working. The big key is, you're right, Toronto is their core of guys. They're four guys. They're core four. Auston Matthews is sick. As of today, we're talking. He did practice this morning. Don't know, unsure whether he'll play in the game or not. Didn't practice yesterday. Nylander is coming back. Williams coming back from having migraines. That last game was the first game he played. Marner has been, how can I put it, irrelevant? And John Tavares has never rang my bell. John Tavares leaves me wanting, although they say he's an outstanding human being, and I believe that. He's so great in the community, and he is a good captain. He's a good regular season player. But I've never seen him, besides the one goal he scored against Florida when he was playing with the Islanders, where he's really taken over a game in the playoffs. So they got four guys that are making ridiculous amounts of money, and they haven't been able to do it in the playoffs and get the team going. They've won one series as a collective.
And in all of the discussions, Drew, of course, the sniping on the bench is being recorded by social media, which, you know, this is something that's happened in the entire history of the NHL, but they're making a big deal out of it because of where the Maple Leafs are. Rangers against Washington, no surprise that the Rangers got the victory there. Winnipeg, Colorado is an interesting series. Colorado getting the upper hand because they're Colorado. We talked about Hellebuyck last show, but I think that it's really more Colorado than it is about Hellebuyck. Edmonton, Los Angeles. Yes. Wow, what a one goal by Bouchard to make it a 1-0 game. They go with Big Save Dave, and I thought he had some big saves in that game. The question is, what are they going to do for the next game? I think they probably got to come back with them. Coming near the end of the show, one other moment too. Patrick Waugh and the New York Islanders going up against Carolina, and that is going to be a fascinating series, and Waugh talking about it.
I don't try to live in the past. So I'm trying to think about what needs to be done today. And I think we start doing good things. I mean, at home, the entire series, I mean, we've been playing good hockey. I mean, if I take with the last 30 minutes of game number two here, where they dominate that second half of the game. The rest, I mean, has been pretty tight hockey.
And so he's expecting more tight hockey, and I'm expecting it too. Final thoughts, Drew.
Well, again, like I said, it's been a wonderful playoff series so far. Three games tonight, as we're recording this, have three series, have a chance of going away and advancing the second round. But Danny, watching this really makes me hungry to see the San Jose Sharks back in the playoffs, because it's so much fun to watch. And you and I know it's so much more fun to be in it, being in it.
Nothing like the first round. That's our playoff report today.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.